It's not time for two more. The head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, time for two more segments with Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota.
Yeah,
he needs to go up a little bit, please. Thank you.
All right, so tell me about iHeartMedia.
iHeartMedia?
Yeah.
It's a conglomerate that dominates the online and radio world. And it's the parent company, like your head coach of a football team, your parent company is the Minnesota Vikings Football Club. So when you see those expansive paychecks, they don't just say like head coach, they say Minnesota Vikings Football Club.
Right.
That's your parent company. This is our parent company.
Well, what are your plans in the off season to improve?
Oh, well, what I'm going to do is I feel like I'm a rookie at the combine in a hotel room being interviewed by a head coach, which is great. I'm heading to a ranch in Kentucky that has a nice little, like, pond/lake in front of it with a boat, and it has crown molding all throughout it and just really cool showers and stuff. And then I figured I'd shoot skeets for a couple of weeks, maybe drive a tractor. What about you?
Maybe I'll join you.
That sounds nice.
I'm learning how to shoot left-handed now, so because my eye, you know, so I'm using my left eye.
Your right eye looks great right now.
I'm ambidextrous. Well, it's a little droopy still.
Well,
it doesn't look droopy.
What's next with it?
No, not really.
Like, what's next in the process?
The next process is another surgery, April 17th, 18th, somewhere in there, and then.
Yeah.
And then probably a cataract surgery because I've had so many surgeries, so I get a cataract surgery so I can see.
Right.
2 months after that.
So how many surgeries will that be at that point? Six or something? Ridiculous?
Six, yeah, it'll be six, I think.
Do you get used to it?
I hate these surgeries.
Yeah, it's the eye. I don't want anything in my eye.
Well, I don't ask them how they do it when they put me to sleep because I don't really
You don't
want to
know.
No,
I bet.
Now, I happen to see the needle the first time they
No.
Don't talk. You can't talk like that.
See a needle coming at your eyeball?
We're white collar and soft.
It's blood. Ask Eric Sugarman. He watched the whole thing.
Oh, I'd pass out. I couldn't be Eric Sugarman.
What's more painful, cataract surgery or all the interviews at the NFL Combine?
I heard cataract is really easy.
Really? Better than this. At this time last year, you had just come back from Texas where you were hunting some half elk, half cow.
I think it was
something.
An aardvark.
It was
Nilgai.
That was it, a Nilgai or something?
Nilgai, yeah.
Nilgai, right.
Did you catch any?
Yeah. I got it hanging in my
What do you do with Nilgai? What is Nilgai?
I've got the head hanging in just right next to my fireplace in Kentucky.
Yeah, that sounds very warm.
So have you done any Nilgai hunting this off season?
No, I haven't. No All right. hunting.
Is it still
because
just
my,
the eye?
Yeah, my eye. I can't do anything.
So, but if you're aiming.
Are you penalizing yourself or something? I mean, 5-0, finish 8-8, you're like, I'm going to penalize myself, no hunting.
Yeah, well, not so much that, but I wasn't happy with the 3-8 at the end.
Right.
No.
If you shoot,
I should punish myself.
When you shoot, you aim with one eye. Can't you just aim with the other eye? I mean, why do you have to change the handedness?
All right. Close your right eye.
Okay. Close my right eye. Okay.
Okay. Okay. So you see where it is right here?
Yeah.
All right. Now close your left eye.
Yeah.
It's like four
it moves.
Inches
yeah,
off.
Right. Yeah. So okay. So you can't do it that way.
No.
It's just not that simple.
So when you're shooting skeets at the warm, glitzy ranch. Is the key to follow the skeet or to, like, get it early? Like, do you follow it and then boom?
Yeah. Well, if you get it early, you got a chance to hit it on the second shot when you miss.
Do you have your own skeet setup? So, you know, the thing
everything.
That flings the arm that flings the bit.
He catered a big party for the team at the ranch.
Wow.
The night before we had the Cincinnati preseason game.
Oh, fun.
And it's spectacular. What a super warm place.
Spielman almost shot everybody on accident.
And you almost shot him.
Yeah. I'm still thinking about it.
Holy cow. What do you look to get accomplished at the NFL Combine? Like, what are some keys when you leave here? You're like, okay, that went well.
You know, a lot of the interviews and getting to know these people, part of it, you know, I've been able to sit down and watch some tape on some of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I've seen them on tape, talked to them in person, you know, kind of get a feel for them, and then watch them work out, obviously. But, you know, it's all about basically the process of all this stuff. You know, we're running out of time, but there's still a long time to go.
With everything that transpires here at the Combine, on the field, all the drills and everything, what is the art with you and the general manager, the scouts, the coaches and everything, to not forget what you've watched on tape from when they actually played games and get too overwhelmed by, like, oh, my God, that 4-3 was unbelievable?
Well, I think part of the combine drills validate what you see on tape. And so one of the things, you know, you see a guy on tape and you say, okay, well, I think he can run or I think he can do this, and then you watch the drills and it kind of validates what you see. But, you know, I think one of the things that we do good is we go back as a group and watch game films again after we do all this other stuff, evaluate all the players. We go back and watch more of the tape of the guys actually playing.
Right.
Sit in a room with the scouts, coaches, Rick, myself, George Payton. So we sit in there and kind of figure out, okay, this is what we thought. Here's all the things. Now let's go back and refresh exactly what we see.
Right.
You've mentioned that you want to be more involved in the offense. Part of that might be a compliment to George Edwards, because you maybe feel more confident about him handling more of the defense and having worked with you for a while. What do you want to do more specifically? What do you want to do more when you want to be more involved in the offense? What does that mean?
Well, that's a good question. You know, part of it is understanding, you know, what I'm trying to do is in the mornings I sit in with the offense, in the afternoons I sit in with the defense. So I'm trying to get an overall basis of everything that we're doing and why we're doing it and how we're doing it. And probably more importantly, give them a defensive perspective of what is hard, what things are difficult for defense, how defense players and coaches see it.
Sure.
And so some of those things, a lot of that. You know, my dilemma, quite honestly, is we've been 27th in the league in my 3 years here with the Vikings offensively. And so we have to improve. You know, if we were 10th in the league every year, then I would not be messing with it. But I think it's part of my responsibility to the fans and to the organization to be as much involved with the things I can. And if I can help in any way, and even if it's just, you know, Hugh Jackson, you know, coach of Cleveland Browns, he coached with us on defense for a year. And it was very beneficial for me, but also beneficial for him because he saw it
the
a different
side.
Way, and
sure.
I was able to see things and hear things that was beneficial. So that's kind of what I'm trying to do. It's not that I don't believe in the guys we have or anything like that. I just want to try to give them a different perspective if we can. And then, you know, I'm like one of the things that I've been meeting with a lot of coaches down here, actually. I'm meeting with another guy today. You know, who might be an offensive head coach and how he handles, you know, being around with the defense, if he's calling the plays, how he does that. So I'm trying to better myself and how I can be of more resource to the entire football team.
The voice of Minnesota Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, an elongated segment with the head coach around the corner.
Are we live?
We are live. Yes, but don't cuss because we don't have the blue button in front of us, but the producer can handle it. More from the Combine thanks to Whiting Clinic LASIK and Eye Care after this. KFAN at the Combine courtesy of Whiting Clinic LASIK and Eye Care. A final segment with Minnesota Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer from the Combine, 36 minutes past the hour. Tell us about new wide receivers coach Darrell Hazel.
Well, Darrell is a guy that's done a lot of good things in college football. He was at Ohio State, was a head coach at Kent State, was a head coach at Purdue, offense coordinator and wide receiver coach at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a very articulate guy, very passionate. And, you know, from being around him thus far, I think he's going to be a good addition.
You largely get say in sculpting your own staff. In addition to new wide receiver coach, you had to make a decision about your offensive line coach, Tony Sperano. And I talked a little bit to Rick Spielman about this yesterday. Hard to evaluate him as a coach when he's got a perpetually changing and devastated offensive line. So when you go into the offseason and you're looking at all of your coaches, how do you know, what was the process of trying to figure out what kind of job you got out of Tony Sperano?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things I really love about Tony. The way he's diligent with his work, number one.
Mm-hmm.
The way he is precise with everything he talks about with the players, the way he pushes them to try to improve and try to get better.
Yeah.
And I've known Tony for a long time, so there was no question whatsoever about would he be back or not be back.
Okay. When do you start the full court press on Terrence Newman?
Oh,
you can do it anytime, right? I mean, you know, he's your guy.
He's still under contract with us.
Well, okay, for another few days. Yeah. But there's no reason we can't get him signed up for this year.
Yeah, no. I've talked to Terrence a couple times.
Yeah.
You know, we have a great relationship. You know, one of the good things about, and mostly defensive guys after the season, you know, a lot of them came in, and Terrence obviously is one of them, and said, "Coach, I want to talk to you." And, you know, it's one of those things like, you know, I want you to be the best head coach you can be. So I'm going to say this in a nice way. You know, here are some things I think you can do better.
Really?
You know, actually, there was quite a few guys.
As a coach? Or like yeah. coach yeah. the person or schematically?
Not schematically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay there. it's the you know, the other intangible things. Handle this situation, handle that situation.
That's really cool.
You know, from the eyes of the players. And he wasn't the only one, you know, I don't know if I should say their names or not, but like Harrison Smith, a guy doesn't say boo.
Yeah.
You know, he came in to see me one day and just talk about some of the things.
Did you hear some repeating things from these players that made, yeah, you know, if you yeah. hear from one guy means one thing, but you hear yeah. from three veterans.
I think the big thing is, hey, Jack, the big thing is that you have to evaluate kind of what they're saying and see kind of where you can get better and take it into consideration. You know, it's a lot of times people are afraid to give you advice.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
But, you know, these are guys that I respect, and I think they would always have my best interest in heart.
Feel free to say no, but would you feel comfortable telling us, you know, like one thing that, you know, they came to you and said, hey, here's something I think you could do better, Coach?
No, it was just handling some of the situations that came up throughout the year, you know, where, you know, guys, I might have hurt their feelings in some particular way or maybe I could have handled it a little differently.
Sure.
You know, it was more about that.
All right. For Terrence Newman in particular, you want him to come back, right?
Well, I think Terrence has a lot of value for this team, you know, and I think that a lot of it is up to Terrence. You know, he's starting to get up there in age.
Well,
and,
yeah.
You know, he may want to do some other things, but, you know, I'll kind of let Terrence decide all those.
What's the best way to make the offensive line better for 2017? Free agency and draft, free agency more so, what?
You know, Paul, I think that's a lot of there's a lot of different things that we're looking at that way. Obviously, free agents. And let me first say this. It's not just about the offensive line. We have to – I mean, we're looking at how – we don't want to take the defense, which is a strength, and make it a weakness by putting all our resources into the offense. We want to make sure that we're diligent about trying to improve this football team, number one. But free agency, not only in the offensive line, but that's an important way to fill your holes. The draft, one of the big things that I'm figuring out here a lot more in this combine is talking to the other coaches about player development. You know, how can we develop these players better than what we have been? And some of it has been, I might be able to go practice for 3 hours, but I never do. I practice, you know, 2 hours, something like that usually. So maybe we take some extra time every day and work on improving these players better. And I think, you know, that's as much as important as anything that we're going to end up doing. Not just those two pieces, but also player development.
Let me say this too.
Mm-hmm. College football. Okay, the two positions that need the most player development, in my opinion. I guess there's three probably when you throw the quarterback in there, right?
Yeah.
So
offensive line for sure.
Offensive line and corners.
Yeah.
You know, because corners can't even bump and run.
Right.
Even until you get to training camp.
Yeah.
Not even until the third day of training
camp. And so many
camp.
Spread offenses, that plays into the offensive line, right?
Yeah, and it's a different game for the corners and the offensive linemen. So the player development in those two areas are so much more important than, you know, linebackers are linebackers. You know, they get a little bit more, you know, in some of the things. Or defensive line is basically the same. But it's in those two positions, the rules of the game and the way the game is played is so much different than in the NFL.
Yeah.
Well, okay, on that point, how did you feel about Trey Wayne's development over the course of the season?
Well, I think he got a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, he's still got a lot of things to improve on. But, you know, Trey's a good competitive kid. So, Bob's not going to like me saying this, but I'm not going to evaluate players in the media anymore. That was one of the things.
Boo!
So, sorry. I'm going to give you the standard line. He's doing good. He needs to get a little bit better.
Well, he needs to keep his hands off of the receivers.
Happy,
that would be good.
That's not for me to decide.
Time for two more.
right. Hell, there's a chance. There's a chance that Trey Wayne's going to be playing a lot of snaps this coming season.
That's
okay. You'd be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
But your validation of that just evaluated Trey Wayne's that he's capable of playing more snaps.
Well, he's a very talented guy.
That's a player really, evaluation.
That's not really.
It really isn't a player evaluation, sadly. I wish it was. It sure looked to us like Anthony Barr took a step back this season. Do you think that's a fair statement? And if so, why?
I think Anthony's an extremely talented guy, and he's going to continue to improve.
Let's hope that that is the case.
With you, your son, and or Rick, with however you perceive Anthony played last year, and he is super athletic and has a ton of potential, everybody knows that. Do you feel you have a handle on how last year went?
I have a plan in place.
Right. Would you care to share any part of that plan?
About the house in Kentucky?
Yeah, it's like with the Castile foam painting, or like, are you going to be adding end tables soon, or like what's next with the Kentucky ranch? Laquan Treadwell's season. What do you think will be better about him?
Well,
besides probably everything.
Yeah. Well. You know, Laquan's another talented guy. And I think that he'll end up being a good football player. He's got to get healthy. You know, he's still, he's down in Miami now working out. But, part of it is getting healthy and getting back with it again. So, he's a very conscientious kid that works extremely hard.
You acknowledged some clock management issues over the course of last season. Are there things you can do in the off season to address clock management specifically?
Yeah. The funny thing is, and I know I'm not trying to defend the mistakes that I made, but in 3 years, I've probably screwed up three, So, I keep hearing about this, but it does become a big issue in some of these areas where you end up losing a football game because of it. So, I have to do a better job there. Yes, there's some of the things that you do. You go back. I'm going back through and watching every single game that, and also with the TV copy, because I think you get a little bit better feeling on the TV copy and situations of the game. You get the flow of the game and things like that. So yeah, I'm doing that as well.
Okay. Is it a good year to be a free agent offensive tackle?
I would think so.
I mean, maybe every year's good to be a free agent, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, looking at the from Riley Reiff through Rick Wagner through all these names, and then just from what we hear about tackles in the draft, where there may be a handful you might be able to plug in immediately, and here we are in the second round, maybe needing tackles, I would imagine it's a good year to be a free agent offensive tackle.
And the salary cap has gone up again too. So
right.
there's a lot of money out there. So I think all those things add to it. It's always supply and demand is what free agency is, and what teams have holes and what teams need to fill them, and where they can figure out the best way to get it. But we're going to be all right.
Sam Bradford had a remarkable season, and there are still a lot of people listening right now that feel like the Vikings made a mistake making that trade. I think that's ludicrous based on what he gave us last year and the fact that, here we are today and we're not sweating the quarterback position,
right,
which is kind of a luxury to be at the combine and not have to worry about that. So, broadly, are you happy with what you got last year from Sam? And what do you project for this coming season? What do you want more from Sam or anything differently from Sam? Maybe he doesn't have to give you anything more than he gave you last year. He gave you a lot.
Yeah, well, there's things he can improve on. There's no question about that as well. But I thought he did a good job under the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Sam is a good kid. He wants to win. He's a guy that takes a lot of things personally. And part of our job as coaches also is to figure out how we can help each one of these players and what we can do best with and how we can make them perform better. So, you know, all those areas we're looking at just as much.
When you say he takes things personally, do you mean that as a compliment? I mean, do you want your quarterback to take things personally,
or do you
want him to shrug stuff off and move on?
No, I want him. It's because he cares. That's the big thing. He cares. And, you know, it's he's not a guy that's going to just collect a check and, you know, go out there and go play and, you know, a lot of times nowadays, you know, the players get over these losses fairly quick.
Well, you need them to, right?
Well, in some ways, but it should hurt them when they lose.
Yeah.
And it should stick with them and eat at them, you know, and just mm-hmm. So we're fortunate that our football team, we have a lot of guys that bothers them. That's why, you know, I had a lot of guys in my office this offseason.
But by making the offensive line better via free agency or the draft, does that inherently make the running game better? Or what's your approach to making the running game better outside of the obvious, improving the offensive line?
Well, some of it is making sure that we're doing the things that the players can do, simplifying enough so that we can execute. You know, to me, execution is a big part of what we can do, you know, being successful, whether it's offense, defense, special teams. It's really all about execution and performing under pressure. So that's a big part of it. But there's a lot of different things. There's some things, some ideas that I have that I believe make things difficult for defense, and, mm-hmm. and we're going to inject them. But at the end of the day, it's going to be about what can our players do good.
Last one for the head coach, Josh.
Well, and that leads us to sort of the obligatory Adrian Peterson question. And, you know, I don't think there's anything new to be said here, but, you know, we have almost an obligation to bring it up.
Well, if there's nothing to be said, why are we saying
it? If it were to work out in such a way, he's not going to be on the roster in a few days, but if it were to work out in such a way that the price is reasonable to bring him back, do you want Adrian Peterson back on this team at a price that, you know, Brzezinski and Spielman and yourself feel is appropriate?
Yeah, well, I don't have anything. My price doesn't matter, because I'd pay all my guys a lot of money. But, you know, it's really up to what we can do fitting into the salary cap. You know, and quite honestly, I think it's a good situation for really all of our free agents. They get to go out and they get to see what they're worth in the market. Adrian's a heck of a football player. You know, I've grown to really care about him and understand him over the 3 years that I've had him. So, you know, if it works out that way, it'd be great.
Thanks, Mike. Enjoy the offseason.
Okay.
Thanks for
Thanks.
The chat.
Right. Thanks, Mike.
See
you.
Bye-bye. Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, KFAN at the Combine, courtesy of Whiting Clinic, LASIK, and Eye Care. Back after this.